Blog Talk Radio.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion
from L.A.
flow.
To Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama.
Billionaire, the trillionaire.
tell you, this is the Tree Dog Floor Night. It's a little cold in Chicago now. But I want to say tonight, we want to talk about economic development. And we want to talk about God give the increase. God give blessings. I want to thank Sister Hawkins, Sister Sherry, thank you. Sherry, I always read I'm going to ask Sherry something. Because a couple ladies called me from Texas, and they were saying they liked that song that Sherry was singing, and when she coming down to Texas. I said, as soon as it get warm, Sherry was going to go on a tour along with Mary Hawkins, and we're going to go down now. That's right, Mary. I know you're saying. That's right. Sometimes you have to go out to your neighborhood in order to bless people. And we're talking about the $1 trillion flow tonight. The $1 trillion flow, I want to explain that. The $1 trillion flow means that God will give you enough money to help build your project. If you're trying to feed people, if you're trying to get housing for people, if you're trying to do anything, God will open up that door and you'll be in the $1 trillion flow situation. I'm praying for you, Sister Lisa, Brother Joe. Deborah Ann Marsha, I'm praying for you. I don't see you on there. And I want to say to you, some people say they be on, they're going to be on there. And Pearl, I don't see her on tonight. And now she says she's going to be on. I was busy. She asked me questions, but I was busy. Sometimes you have to wait to get the message that you want God to give you. I've been very busy praying for folks and folks trying to get on track for 2020. And each one of us should be trying to get on track for 2023. I was listening to Dr. Henry Clark, and he was just talking about how far we have come, but how far we got to go. No, it gets important. And this is what I want to say to you. You should make up your mind tonight that you're going to dedicate yourself to doing something, one thing. You know, so much going on in the world, but God is still in control. And the God, and that song, God's time is not your time. You got to wait on God's time. And I was looking at those different songs. And I talked to Dr. Christian today, prayed for her, and she incarcerated. But I told her that might be a good thing to be incarcerated. Sometimes God put you there in order for you to resurrect people that's already there. I'm still asking to free the political prisoners. One in particular, Larry Hoover, Jeff Ford, the leader of the Teen Nations back in the day. And I'm asking for them to be released. And as I ask for them to be released, there's a breakthrough coming. As that breakthrough coming, things will open up. So I'm asking things to open up for them, and I'll open up for you. All is well. Get ready for a breakthrough. Get ready for a breakthrough that'll break through for you and a door open up. So what I'm saying to you tonight, yo, this is Friday night, the $1 trillion flow night. And what that means, Mary, that means that I want you to focus on God giving you what you asked Sherry or Walter. Sherry down in Ruston, Louisiana is a nurse. God bless you, Sherry, like you, Sherry. I got your call. All is well. But I want to say to you, you got to stop working so hard. Sister Essie, I'm praying for you. She's in up in Bernice, Louisiana. I'm praying for you, Sister Essie, in Bernice, Louisiana. Henrietta, daughter. God is able to do anything to fail. You You know, I'm finding out people really don't want the truth. If you ain't talking something, some foolishness, they don't want to hear it. They have a big house on the show, but they don't want to read the scriptures. Mary read the 23rd number Psalms every night to get to be a professional at it. But you got to understand, there's some people that don't want to hear what we're talking about. We're going to talk about the eagle spirit's nest tonight. I think Reverend Coleman was on last night, and I know he got a good, here's a list, a good thing. Now, Mary, I have the, let me see what I got. Tonight is the $1 trillion flow night. Love it tonight, it's Friday night. And we talk about economic development. And it's a psalm, this is 2023. And we've been reading the 23rd number of Psalms. Mary, when you get the 23rd number of Psalms, Mary, press 1. I know you're ready. I don't want you to have to run out and do nothing. I want you to be ready, okay, for the 23rd number of Psalms. Mary's going to read the 23rd Psalm for us. And Sherry, you get ready when you want to get your song together. Press 1. I know you got it together. When you get ready for your song, Sherry. I want to tell, the Lord told me to tell y'all, by you do the service of God, even on this radio, you're touching somebody. Somebody asked me, well, a lady called me and said, who reads the scripture? I said, that's Sister Mary Hawkins from Detroit. She said, she read it and she get off of there. I said, that's right, what she do? She got to make room for somebody else. She read it and she get off. And but you read it because if anytime you do something for God, it's helping somebody else. See, some people they want what they want for themselves, but they don't want to share what God. If God give me a prophecy for you tonight, I'm gonna give it to you. Well, you might not like it, you might not want to hear it. I told people they had death in their family, and it happened. I told people they had marriage in their family. It happened. We talk about clairvoyant healing. We're talking about remote viewing. I might talk a little about that and tell you where that comes from. But I'm going to take this time out for those that are listening. Some of them, they don't listen tonight. They download it because they scared that I might prophesy to them. I'm praying for you, Sister April. I was talking to Sister April when I was busy doing my coconut thing, you know, doing my coconut. Every year, I do them in order to bring red clarity. We're getting ready, Mary, for Black History Month. You know, February is Black History Month. We started the last of this month, and all of these talking about your achievement and talk about Marcus Garvey, Clark, Malcolm X, Dr. King, Paul Longstreet, Robert. And I was just saying, I was telling a guy, Kennedy, John Kennedy got killed because he was helping the black man. He said he was going to do some things. His brother come right on, they killed him too. Because they don't want nobody to lift poor people up off the ground. I want to tell you tonight, we got poor and rich. Poor people and rich people. Poor, God will lift you up. If you're rich, you better start giving some of your wealth away to help somebody else. Tonight, it's God Almighty. I feel that you should be uplifted. You can't be uplifted if you ain't focused your time on God. This is your, come on, tonight, this is your spiritual time. Every night at 9 o'clock to 10 is your spiritual time. Time out. Tell them, I don't call me because I'm listening to what God is going to say to me through the bishop. And Jim Coleman said, since he's been listening and He's been doing much better. I ain't fixed that tycoon bullet teeth for him, Mary. So I'm going to give some of that teeth. And little Buffalo Don knocked that cold right out. But tonight is the $1 trillion flow. More money, more money. First, when you get money, you have to know how to invest money. If you plant a seed to the ministry, you're going to receive a harvest. Well, you the bishop, what is a harvest? A harvest is something that you, when you plant a seed to God, God always sends back a harvest. If you go in your yard and snowing, you can't do it in Minnesota, but where it's warm at in summertime, take some seeds and put it in the ground, they come up. That's your harvest. So Moses, Abraham obeyed God. Rapshack and Bendigo, they obeyed God. All the people obeyed God, they got a harvest. You have not because you ask not. When Mary reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She's giving herself to God. David was a man after God's own heart. What that means, he did some wrong, but he right is wrong. You have to repent. I was talking to Sherry Moe. I said, Sherry, don't worry, he'll come out. But God, see, sometimes when you've got people around you, don't teach about spiritual stuff, about witches and demons. I've seen a lot of people messed up. I was talking to the lady. She didn't know she was messed up. But when the yoke started to break it, she said, I feel better. Because you don't know who put a spell on your mama, your great-grandmama, your ex-husband put a spell on. I know one lady, I'm calling her name, she married an African. She was already married over in Africa. And the wife put a spell on her. And for 7 years, she was under that spell. To the anointed woman and man, God broke the hope. I'm praying for you, Pastor Everett in Monroe, Louisiana. Pastor Etta down in Greenville, Mississippi. And Greenwood, Mississippi, Shirley, praying for you. Every letter, every telephone call, every speaking of, and Prophet Johnson said, in all that ways, acknowledge God. He will direct harvest fair. In all that ways, acknowledge God, he will direct your path. And Reverend J.L. Todd, Bishop Todd said, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's wonderful when you can serve God. It's wonderful when you can speak out and tell somebody the truth. It's wonderful when you can tell them the truth about anything. One lady said, Bishop, I think my son is gay and I don't know how to talk to him. I said, your son, you give him the Bible and tell the truth. Stop lying. Stop lying about your feelings. If you feel somebody's an alcoholic, they're on drugs, they're on, I was talking to a young lady. And I'm telling you, you don't, if they on drugs, you tell them. If they on alcohol, you tell them. They're dropping pills and smoking dope, you let them know, say, that ain't right. If you got to understand, it's a divine law tonight, and that law is God. I don't care if it's your husband, your wife, your friend, your mama, you got to tell the truth. Mama, I don't agree with you smoking dope. I don't agree with you drinking. I don't agree with you on cocaine. Agree with you. You're a woman and you're trying to dress up like a man. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with a man trying to dress up like a woman. I don't agree with that. You've got to tell the devil. You've got to tell them. Even, see, I want to say tonight, it's a lot of demonic spirit. It's loosened now. At school, in college, there's going to be some more shooting with these salt guns because you got some demons running the government. Here's a man lied by his mama, lied by the sister, lied by who he is, and they put him in office. And the Republicans there won't take him out. So they a pack of lies, a pack of dogs, a pack of animals. Animals got pride. Dog run with dog. Elephant run with elephant. Now, you see, you got to understand, so much happening now that we are caught up in witchcraft. On our job, at work, going to the grocery store, and people got guns, you take guns to hunt. You going to the theater to hunt. You going to the grocery store to hunt. You know, that means that it's something truly wrong with what's going on. I'm praying for you. All is well, Brother Tick. Brother Gary Wayne, I just got a message for you. And I want to tell you, if somebody I see drinking a lot, I want to tell you, leave the alcohol alone. And I see another couple where when one get high, they want to fight. God, those spirits, those evil spirits, bound you up. I want to tell you, now I see your hand up, Mary. I'm going to let you read the 23rd number, something, but since this Friday night, I think I'll talk about your people's finance. I ain't going to talk about your girlfriend, your boyfriend. I'm going to talk about your financial breakthrough, your financial hope, what will work for you. Your finance will work for you if you just let it work. Sometimes you don't let it work, but it'll work for you. Mary, let me get Mary on. Mary?
Yes.
Sister Arkin?
Yes.
You're on. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture. And I'm going to tell you, this month, you might just log on, there's a financial blessing for you.
Uh-huh.
I want you to read, this ain't for you to read. I want you to turn to something tonight. But this is prophecy. Psalm 71, the Spirit told me to tell you to read.
Okay.
The Spirit told me to tell you to read Psalm 27. It's one more song he gave me. And this song will open up a door for you.
Yeah,
you're trying to get open. Psalm 21. I want to tell you this. It's something owe you some money. I want you to go and say, pay me what you owe me. I don't got to say it, but when you go, when you walk in the door,
uh-huh.
And say, pay me what y'all owe me. Now, you're talking to the spirit, okay? It's a little man.
Okay.
It's a little man. The lady told me, she said, every time she goes to the casino, somebody tell her, go to the machine, go to the machine. I said, that's a spirit. So she said, I'm going to watch for you. So she went to the casino, Mary. She seen that little man. Little man said, go to this machine. And when he pulled up his jeans and he disappeared. I said, that's the magic man. That's what he do. He make people win money and said, don't get up, go on the cliff. You're going to get some more. He's full of tricks. He's a trickster. And I had five people to go to the casino to see the man because they didn't believe it. They had their money in the pocket. They walked in. I said, don't play nothing. They put the money in your pocket. They went to the casino. The lady said she went. She sat down. The little man said, that machine hit. Come back to that machine hit. She put a dollar machine hit. Okay? And she made $200. The man come back. Go to that machine. She went to that machine and took $200 plus $100 of her money. She got back to me and said, Bishop, it's a little man on the boat. I said, that's right. He's the one that keeps it. That's a spirit that tells you you're going to win. Let me tell you something. When you go to the casino, and lots of people go, and I don't say they go to Vegas, you do what you want to do. I always say, Lord, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. God bless you at the casino with lots going to do it. So you can take it and help somebody else with it. Now, this lady went to the casino and won some money. I think she won about $1,500. On her way out the door, the little man said, hey, come here. Play that machine. The machine gave her $100, but she ended up putting $5 in it. And when she looked for the man, he was gone. Most people go to the casino and they go. Christians go. When you go to Vegas, it's more Christian in Vegas than sinners. They say everything in Vegas stays. Okay? That's what they say. Now, I want to say this in. We're talking about money. Lord, in a way you bless me, I'll be satisfied just so God bless you. Well, you can bless somebody else. See? Now, if you're going to plant a seed or whatever you're going to do, do it the spirit, take down pressure, God's going to give it back to you. Now, Mary, you can read the 23rd number of Psalms. Did you get that prophecy I gave you?
Yes.
Okay, you read the 23rd number of Psalms.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leaded me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leaded me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I just read the 23rd number Psalm. Amen.
Thank you for that. When Mary reads the 23rd number Psalm, that's David in the Bible, saying the Lord is my shepherd. And what he be saying, Lord is my shepherd, telling you what's going on and what's happening in your life. He's trying to get something to you where you might stay blessed and know God will open up a door for you. It's important to know that God got you covered. It's important to know that God will make a way out of no way. And when you ask God to do something special for you, God do it. And my thing is, the word I want to use tonight, be consistent about your prayer. If God, Sherry, when you get ready to sing, press 1 on your phone. Well, Sherry getting ready to sing. In God's time, what I'm saying tonight, when God gives you assignment, don't let nobody take you off of the assignment God gives you. Because it's somebody you can help. It's somebody you can help. And that somebody you help might be a woman, a man of God. That can help you. So it's important tonight for you to understand the $1 trillion flow. $1 trillion flow works for everyone that listens tonight. See? In the $1 trillion flow. See, it's a little cold outside, but God, if all that said David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I should not want.
That's
right. So tonight, I'm going to carry you to another level in God. When the eagle stirs its nest, that's God. when you done did all you can do. See, an eagle can look 5 miles and see a stone. And the eagle represents God. It's a raw bird. And tonight, I want you to understand God got his hands on you. I want you to understand tonight, it's nothing more important than lifting the name of God up. You know, the guy asked me today, Bishop, what's going on? I said, God said high and look low. When it's enough, it's enough. The floods, the storm, God is doing all that. Okay? So I want you to know tonight the $1 trillion flow. Enough money to build a hospital. Enough money to build a school. Ain't no shortage of money. All the silver, all the gold belongs to God, people. I just want you to know that. Your healing is a moment away. A lady called me today, and she's a bishop. I need to be healed. I prayed for her. And I told her, I said, God's going to heal you. She was down south. And she, I said, go in the, now, y'all don't listen to me. You might laugh. I said, go in the pastor and get some cow dung. Really, a cow doo-doo. Well, y'all know what it is. Dry doo-doo. Put it in a boiler and boil it and drink it. Ain't nothing but grass, chewed up grass. The doctor gave her all kind of medicine. She's still coughing. She drunk that cow dung. Be all right tonight. Now, y'all sophisticated. Y'all sophisticated. Y'all don't want that. That's cow doo-doo. It ain't nothing but chewed up grass. The process. Okay? God is a healer tonight. Whatever you need, what you want, God will heal you. I want to tell you, Deborah Ann, God got a healing for you. Lisa, God got a healing. Joe, I'm looking and I'm seeing. And you can hide, but you can't hide from God. Whatever you do, God can see you. Y'all better hear me. Make your mind this year, I'm coming off of dope, coming off of alcohol. I'm coming off of all drugs. I'm going to submit my life to God. Glory, hallelujah. You know, you know how I'm going to a church. The church is in you, man. And when you let church in you, you know, when I listen to Dr. Theo Franklin, he motivates me because he keep the word out there. You individual, everybody listening tonight in Arkansas, in Mississippi, you got to know God got a blessing with your name on it. It's a blessing in your house. It's a blessing when you drive a car. It's a blessing when you get up in the morning. So many didn't get up. Young folks didn't get up. What happened with that? And I, you know, Sister Jerry, I listened to them songs. You got some good songs there. But I'm going to pray a little Dr. Franklin now.
Father. I stretch my hand, oh, no the help I did sun endure before I drew my breath. One that in thine lonely sun that for me tonight. That's what I've been doing all these years. I want to read to you.
That's Dr. Franklin. And as he sang that song, I got Sister Sherry. Sister Sherry was going to sing her song. What's the name of that song, Sister Sherry? Let me see what Sister Sherry is. Sister Sherry, what's the name of that song that you sung? What's the name of that song?
Yesterday?
Yeah,
in His Time.
God
in His Time.
God's Time. Is that what the name of it in God's Time?
Yes.
Is that what the name of it in God's Time?
It's called In His Time.
In His Time. The lady was asking me what the name of the song was. I thought it was God's Time, but you say In His Time. Go on and sing it. Give us a couple of hymns on it.
Say that again.
Now go ahead on. Sing it.
Sing it? Okay. Hold on.
Until the Babylonian exile. It was then that the priests and the Levites, who found themselves in the throes of a dilemma, in a crisis. I see Mrs. Ollie B. Patterson over there, my daughter Irma's mother-in-law. They found themselves in trouble, and it's a funny thing that most people don't think too much about God or themselves or their destiny until they get in trouble. So when they were carried off to Babylon by the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar and enslaved, they did a very unique thing. They did not do what most of the people in this part of the world did. Usually, people in that part of the world, in the Euphrates Valley or in the Mediterranean area, when their gods fell, or when they were conquered by other people, they forsook their gods because they considered that their gods had fallen. But the Jews or the Hebrews did a very unique thing. When their nation fell, they didn't put it on their God. They said, we are responsible. It's our backsliding way, our sin that have brought this calamity upon us. And what we need to do is to re-examine the law and the prophets and reinterpret them and synthesize them into a whole. Not only for ourselves, but for generations to come. I don't believe you're going to pray with me tonight. So that this passage that I have read in your hearing comes from out of this situation. Now, I want you to understand that the writer here is personifying the nation. And he's using great symbolism. Now, Jacob, who is called here, is a personification of Israel. The eagle is a personification of God. The nest that the eagle was stirring is a personification of history. He is saying, just as the eagle stirs her nest, fluttereth over her young, spread abroad her wings and protect them, Yahweh has done that in history for Israel. That's what he's really saying. By personification, you say, sometimes you say, well, the Negro does this. You're not talking about one person. You're talking about the whole ethnic group. And this is what is going on here. Moses did not write this. But you see, as I refer to our teachers who teach us English, will agree with me when I said this is in the third person. And when any writing is in the third person, it is written by somebody about somebody else. You see, it is The first person, if I say I am doing so, that's the first person. If I say you are doing so and so, that's the second person. But if I said John did such and such thing, that's the third person. So this is Moses writing. This is somebody writing about Moses. This is somebody writing about Israel. You don't hear what I'm saying. Now, he talks about the protection of the eagle. And symbolizing the eagle with God. The eagle is a regal bird. You don't hear me. The eagle is a regal bird. And by regal I mean kingly, royal. And in this way the eagle symbolizes God, because God is not just a king. He is the king. And I'm glad it's that way, because kings and rulers got to have somebody over them, and they've got to be accountable to somebody. So in this way, the eagle symbolizes God in his regalness. And then in the next place, the eagle is strong. It is said that the eagle can fly along, look down, and see a young lamb or a young animal grazing in a meadow by a mountainside, and swoop down upon that unsuspecting lamb or animal and grab him in the strength of his paws or feet and fly away to yonder's cleft and devour him. He's just that strong. God is strong. You don't hear me. God is strong. Somebody said that he upholds and undergirds the universe. Somebody said that this planet that we live on called Earth, we know by now that it is not built upon a platform. It doesn't have anything holding it up that's visible. But it is held in place by two countering forces called centrifugal and centripetal forces. And they balance each other. You don't hear me. All they are talking about when they say that is just talking about how strong God is. So strong that somebody called him a leaning post in Zion. That in a peculiar way, it is said that the eagle builds a nest in a kind of a huge fashion to fit her own anatomy and that of her young. But basically the nest is rather crude and rough. But then as that nest graduates toward a finish, it is said that the material becomes finer and finer, and finally soft and downy like cotton, so that the little eaglets can be comfortable in the nest. But when those eaglets have grown up and ought to be out scuffling for themselves. That parent eagle push them out of the nest. Take them upon her back. Fly out into the blue yonder. And when they are unsuspecting, she dives from beneath them and leave them flopping their little wings, trying to stay aloft. It is said that she circles around above them and watch them while they struggle. And she knows when they have become exhausted. She knows when they can't stay aloft any longer. And when they are about to go down, she dives beneath them and catches them on her back. I think God does us like us. God does us like that sometimes. I believe that sometimes we find ourselves in the comfortable nest of circumstances, luxury or security or both, and we get so comfortable we don't bother to struggle. We are satisfied right where we are. Then God take us out. Allow some circumstances to develop to push us out of our nest of security. And then when we find ourselves, we're on our own wing. Or have you felt like that sometimes? Sometime in prayer, you reach out and it doesn't seem that he is there. Like Job, you go out ahead and you turn to the right and to the left. You go back over your path and it doesn't seem that he is there. Oh, he's there all right, as he's everywhere. He's above us. He's looking down on us. But he's allowing us to try our own way. I don't believe you hear me tonight. And before we really fall, why, he will come in and catch us when we are descending. I don't believe you hear me. What I'm about to say, that, you know, preaching means nothing except just reciting Bible stories, unless you can make it relevant to life today. Now, the question is God still stirring the nest? That's what I want to ask you. Yes, he's still stirring the nest. He stirred the nest in history when we came as slaves to this country. You don't hear me. I know it was rough, and I know it was bad, and I know that we had a hard time. Oh Lord. And we feel that it was a long time. It was, according to our calendar. But you see, God doesn't work by our calendar. He works by eternity. Oh Lord. So 400 years for just a little while with God. You don't hear me tonight. Looking back, it looked like to me it was a long time. Oh Lord. It seemed like the night was too long. But God, it was just a minute in eternity. And my great-grandparents were slaves. But oh look where her great-grandson stands tonight. Oh Lord, while. God has been stirring the nest all along. In suffering, there is redemption. Oh Lord, unfortunately for us to be ourselves, we have to suffer. Unfortunately for us to know ourselves, sometime we have to suffer. Oh Lord, and my great grandparents and their parents suffered vicariously for me and for you. You don't hear me tonight. I see God stirring the nest. In labor, God stirred the nest. You don't hear me. I said in labor, when they had the labor wars and the labor struggle, oh Lord, when men were made to work from tent to tent, it was God stirring the nest. You go to the factory now. You get a guarantee of so much an hour. And you work on the humane labor conditions. Because he is a labor struggle. God, God, sir, you know. Oh, Lord. You don't hear me tonight. I wish I had somebody here to pray with me. God was stirring the nest. Yes. And then, may I say, another instance where God was stirring the nest. After World War I, well, the black man has never been seen in this country anymore. He brought a new world for him. But World War II and all the other wars, suffering, yes. It was killing, yes. It was not dead, yes. But it takes us some time for God to bring us where he wants us. Oh, yes, it does. Hold on. And now, right now, God is not only serving us in the domestic situation. Oh Lord. But in this world, yes. God is saying to me, through Martin Luther King, God is
Thank you. what did thine only son endure before I drew my breath? Was it thine?